Welcome back to Highly Successful Couples. I'm your host, Nick Solacek, and today we are going to talk about not just relationships, we're going to talk about something a little bit deeper, something that touches on the soul. And there's a quiet question that I think haunts many of us, whether we're 6 months into our relationship or 20 years, which is, you know, am I happy here? Is this what I want? Is this working for me? Is there something more? Should I stay or should I go? And I think there's a certain type of person who can doubt more than others, right? For those of us that had an experience of relationships when we were young, that being close to other people presents a risk of being dominated, controlled, smothered, that it's not okay to be us. It's not okay for us to make our own choices. It's not okay to feel the way that we feel. Maybe some of us grew up with caretakers who were chaotic, confusing, abusive, scary. And there can be a quiet part of us, a small part of us, that even though we're in a relationship with someone we care about and we love, it can feel still a little bit scary to be close, to be vulnerable, risky. And we can be sensitive to certain dynamics. We can get frustrated. We can get annoyed. And we can wonder, you know, maybe there's someone out there who could love me better. There could be a partner who's more perfect, more aligned. And, you know, I struggle in this relationship, or I suffer from time to time, or I doubt. And then what does that mean? Does that mean that this relationship is no good, or that I'm failing, that I should leave it? Or is it just, oh, wow, this is part of life. This is part of relationship experience, that we're going to have uncomfortable feelings. We're going to doubt. We're going to be challenged. And so I'd like to explore this today through a deeper lens of personal work, maybe your highest purpose, your edge. Some people might call this soul work. Maybe life's challenges or relationship challenges are calling you deeper, asking more of you, begging you to get clear about what is most important. And I know for me, that is definitely part of the season that I am moving through, getting clear, refining, focusing on what excites me, letting go of things that no longer serve me, and really aligning and honoring what matters most to me now, who I am, who I'm becoming, and tending to the things that matter most. Because in these busy modern times, it's easy to get distracted, and I can feel that for sure. And it's easy to look at what's happening on the surface and just be focused on that. It's easy to be distracted by the metaphorical lady in red, you know, or the shadows on the cave wall appearing as reality. So today I want to break down a few things. I want to talk about some myths, some illusions in relationship. I want to talk about some of the things that I believe are part of the reality, some beliefs that can actually empower us and set us free from some of the illusions that we hold, some of the programs that we're given by our family and by society. And, you know, in our relationships and in my own relationship, there are many illusions. I don't fully believe that you or me will ever achieve a permanent state of awakening to these things and be free of these illusions. And that's not because I don't believe in you or I don't believe in me. I just think that there's only been a few enlightened beings in the past few hundred years, and that we're going to have a practice of waking up over and over again. And that's really the way that I see the work at this time in my life. It's being committed to waking up over and over again, waking up to the illusions, remembering to wake back up when I've fallen asleep. And there are different practices people use to achieve this: meditation, mindfulness, exercise, dialogue between partners, eye gazing, different somatic practices, just trying to like soften our guard a little bit, put our shield down, open our heart, be in the present moment with each other. So let's dive into some of the illusions that we hold. And if you are sometimes doubting your relationship, which, you know, we can all do from time to time, if you're not sure about the future, you wanted to go deeper, you want more. Let's check some of the illusions that we've got first. And some of the most popular ones, which we've talked about on this show, is really thinking that, you know, my partner should be perfect for me in every way, never disappointing me or making mistakes. They should just know how to love me. And if we're truly meant to be, we should just always agree, never fight, and want the same things in life. We should always be on the same page. If they really loved me, they would just know what I need without me having to say it. They will become the person I want them to be if I just love them enough or show them what they need to change. So you got to check in here if some of this is resonating, right? If you really, yeah, you know, I do think that sometimes, or I do behave in a way that sort of signals that part of this might be true. And we're going to get to some of the healthy, empowered, differentiated beliefs in a moment. But let's continue here with some of these illusions. One of them being that, you know, if we're really in love, the passion should never fade. We should always feel excited and attracted to each other all the time. That should just be our constant state. And true love, what that means is actually accepting everything about me without ever asking me to change. That you should never want me to be different in any way, and that I shouldn't have to change to make this relationship work. And what we're going to talk about, and what we have talked about before, is that we actually all need to change. We all need to grow. A good relationship means always feeling happy, connected, and fulfilled. I wish that was true. My partner will complete me, make me whole, and fulfill all my emotional needs. And if we're meant to be, I will always find my partner attractive in every moment, and they will never look at anyone else. They will never be attracted to anyone else. Everything should be 50-50. We should always balance out perfectly in every situation. True love should be easy. If we're struggling, maybe we are not right for each other. If we have challenges, yeah, I guess we're just not the right partners. Or there is only one perfect person for me. There's only one soulmate. And if I find them, everything will fall into place. When I just meet that person, everything's going to be great for me. I won't have any problems. I won't struggle. And if you're still with me here, these are the shadows on the cave wall. This is what I mean by the lady in the red dress and how we can very easily get pulled in different directions by our sensuality, by our desire. And all that makes sense. But we need to balance this stuff. And when we're in our relationship, having our own private experience with no witnesses, no therapist, no counselor, no wise, mindful, you know, intelligent friend to bounce ideas off of, we can sometimes have our illusions validated, and we can lack a sense of being challenged or, you know, being asked to think about things in a different way. And I believe that the reality of relationships looks very different. And if we take on some of these ideas, I think we're better set up to be successful in our own terms, what we think that means, what success means to us. But we're better set up to be a partner who has honest expectations and is better equipped than to approach some of the situations, some of the things that come up between couples. Because no one is perfect. Every person has flaws, quirks, unresolved issues, fears and insecurities from the past, and childhood wounds. And so if we expect perfection, we're going to be set up for disappointment. And we all do this in certain ways, right? We project that our romantic partner should satisfy and is going to satisfy all of our needs We think this in the beginning in dating, right? We see an attractive person. We make that mean that they must have their life together and wow, they would really know how to love me. And you know, when we get close to a person, we get in touch with those differences between us. We get in touch with the fact that they are not perfect. And this doesn't mean that we can't grow. And it doesn't mean that we should put up with toxic or abusive behavior. It just means no one's perfect. And even the best relationships involve conflict, disagreement, differences, difference in values, difference in perspective. And so does compatibility mean that they see everything the way that I see it? No. Real compatibility is working through these differences, not avoiding them, and noticing how uncomfortable it is for you to sometimes sit and feel and be in the conversation with your partner who could be on the opposite side of the world on a given subject. Right? To feel that discomfort about what that means. What do I make that mean if they believe something different than me? What's the story I tell myself about them, about us, about me and our relationship? And we can't expect our partners to read our minds. Even the most intuitive partners can't do this. And healthy relationships, they require clear and honest communication. And it's an easy thing to say, but it's another thing to do day to day as we go in autopilot mode and we're trying to manage everything that we've got going on. We've all got our little strategies, right, for dealing with things when we get stressed out, even if it's a quiet strategy. So the truth is, we can't change our partner, right? People only change when they want to. But we can support their growth. We can be allies in each other's healing, growth, and development. We can have sincere well wishes for each other's well-being. But we can't control it, even though some of us try, right? We can't force someone to love us. We can't force someone to change. That's something that each of us has an opportunity to take ownership for and claim for ourselves. But unfortunately, we can't force anyone to do it. And in terms of the passion in our relationships, that's really something that's cyclical, that has a natural rise and fall. If you're together for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, we can't expect that we're just going to have this infinite passion every day. So real, you know, love and conscious relationship is not just about passion. That's super important, right? It's one of the key things for sure. We want to feel alive. We want to have things that we're excited to get out of bed in the morning and go create or go do this thing, hobbies and interests and friends and things that we're up to in life. But connection, trust, commitment, those are all cornerstones. And there are different things we can do to bring the passion alive. But just to set an honest expectation, that's going to be cyclical, that we're going to be tired, we're going to have lots of energy, we're going to be feeling exhausted. We're going to be feeling aroused. We'll get sick. We'll get busy. You know, it's not going to be a constant state. Your long-term romantic relationship is not going to look like some erotically charged adult film, right? If you've been with your partner long enough, you know that that is true. So we can work on things, we can talk about things, we can go deeper. And most of us, just say for me, you know, have a lot to learn about sexuality, our own sense of embodiment, our own being in touch with what we need and what's exciting to us, and having the courage to talk about that, you know, to be brave enough to sit down with our partner and say, hey, you know, this is something that's like really exciting to me that I'd like to explore. You know, what a vulnerable thing to do. So while love does involve acceptance, also, you know, it involves accountability. And in the way that I'm saying is like taking ownership for me and who I am and who I'm becoming, and ownership for like, wow, I haven't been in touch with this part of myself, or I've never looked at things this way. I've never asked myself this question. And being able to see and admit that. And sometimes, you know, growth does mean challenging each other. it does mean saying, hey, we need to talk about this. This is really important. Or, hey, I noticed that, you know, you gave up on that goal you had in mind. How are you feeling about that? Has anything changed for you? Do you need anything from me? How can I support you? And we're going to have those cyclical experiences with our goals as well, you know, with our striving. And we gotta be able to, you know, we want the moments of joy, right? We want the moments of happiness. But as I was saying in a previous episode about that relationship arena, that it's not all going to be joy, happiness, rainbows, flowers, and colorful, wonderful feelings. There's going to be boredom. There's going to be conflict, doubt, and struggle. And these things are normal. And it doesn't mean the relationship is failing. Part of the goal here, I think, for couples to become quote-unquote successful is to make conflict safe. So when we get into disagreements, when we get into conflict, when we get into tension, you know, that the whole thing doesn't come off the tracks, that the conversation doesn't end with an ultimatum, you know, that we're able to hang in there with each other, that it's okay to disagree, and that we develop ourselves, we, you know, build the capacity in our nervous systems to be able to hang in there with each other in that way. And healthy relationships are about two whole individuals choosing to share their lives, not two incomplete people, deficient and broken, using each other to fill emotional gaps. Now, do I believe that, you know, me and my partner are ultimately whole and healed and we've done all the work and we're done? No, I don't think we're ever going to get it done in this lifetime. And you might hold a different perspective about that. I'm open to it. Just saying, you know, for me and my partner, the way that I see it is that I might not get everything done in this lifetime. I don't know that I'll be able to answer all of the questions, finish everything on my to-do list, or be some completely healed, enlightened being by the time that I pass away. You know, I think it's going to be, again, that sort of waking up when I've fallen asleep, coming back to my practice, and taking accountability and ownership. And that's something that really breathes a lot of kind of relief into my relationship when I do that, when my partner does that, to say, hey, you know, I really see this. I see how I do that. I can see how I show up in this way. And, you know, I'm committed to exploring that more and learning how to love you better. Like, what a powerful conversation or a way to approach these things that are just part of the reality, right? Are the parts of us that are undeveloped, our own weaknesses. We've got our strengths, but we've got things that we're not very good at too. And you know, let's all be honest about that. So a couple other things here is like, we deserve to be with someone we're attracted to, and where attraction is natural. So some of us can feel a little bit jealous. We can get, a part of us can be triggered if we sense that our partner notices others. And, you know, I think real intimacy needs to deepen beyond surface level physical attraction. I hope for all of you and your relationships that it does, that yes, you deserve to be with a partner that you're attracted to. And, you know, our bodies and our vibrancy and our skin tone and our hair will, you know, change over time. The collagen in our skin, you know, goes down over time. We do get wrinkly and old, but attraction can be something deeper than just what's happening on the physical surface. And commitment, real commitment, is choosing your partner even when you notice others. So me and my partner, we notice attractive people in the world. We will see attractive people on TV. But that doesn't mean that we just follow the lady in the red dress, that we just, you know, turn and run after the next shiny object. And one of the problems that people encounter is they do trade, maybe not you, but in society, people do trade one body for another. And they encounter the same problems. They encounter oh, okay, wait, this person doesn't always agree with me about everything. Oh, they are challenging in some ways. Oh, I'm noticing there's things about them that trigger me or disturb me or that I don't like, right? We trade one body for another, but we encounter similar relationship problems because everywhere we go, there we are. We are the common denominator inside of our relationship experiences. And, you know, in my experience, relationships are rarely perfectly balanced. Sometimes one partner gives more while the other is struggling, and it can balance out over time. You know, if we injure our leg, we are going to lean on the other leg for a bit, maybe. Might hop or hobble or limp. And in relationships, sometimes this happens. One partner's overwhelmed, they're hurt, they're going through a crisis, they're going through something difficult, and maybe they need to lean on their partner a little bit. And that makes sense. That will have to happen sometimes. We just need to be careful that it doesn't become a chronic imbalance, because we're not meant to carry, we're not meant for one of us just carry our partner for our entire life. I don't think. Maybe some of our karma is that way. I'm not sure. We're going to get to some questions that might uncover, you know, what your highest path is or what your deepest relationship purpose is. But I believe that we're meant to go together. We're meant to walk together, you know, meant to hold hands on this journey. That's at least something that I want. And maybe you want that too. So every relationship involves work, right? We got to learn how to regulate. We got to find ways to share about our experience, communicate that, you know, doesn't tear each other down. And it's really that the absence of struggle is not what defines a good relationship. We're all going to struggle. We're all going to suffer. We're all going to have these kinds of things come up as I'm sharing. But, you know, a good relationship, I think, is defined by the ability to navigate these things, our ability to do it. And if we don't know how, then we're going to learn how. We're going to do that together. We're going to get support. We're going to ask questions. We're going to get, you know, maybe even a third party, right, to help us see clearly about what's going on here. And is this normal? I think one thing, you know, about relationship is that some of us believe that there's a soulmate out there for us. And really, you know, I think there are many compatible partners out there. And a strong relationship is built through shared effort, you know, not magical destiny or luck or finding that mythical creature out there who's the only one for you. And success in relationship is about, you know, committing to one partner, knowing that everything I'm saying here is true, that there are struggles, there are challenges, our brain codes, differences, danger, and, you know, we feel threatened from time to time. And how can we be mindful about what we do with that, about the stories that we make, the meaning that we make up? So when it comes to your current relationship situation, you know, you got to ask yourself, do I believe some of these illusions to be true? Do I think some of these thoughts from time to time or a version of it? And in terms of, you know, deepening your current experience, if you're in relationship, I'd like you to inquire, does this relationship bring me closer to my deepest work? Does it encourage your depth, your authenticity, your true voice? Or does it force you to hide, to perform, to diminish yourself for the sake of peace or acceptance, right? Sweeping things under the rug, biting your tongue, walking on eggshells. And do you make a choice to wear a mask? Do you make a choice to hide, to keep things to yourself because of something from your past, a younger part of you? A younger boy or girl who didn't feel safe, right? Are you still playing out certain survival strategies now? And, you know, if your relationship is, you're questioning the alignment, I think you got to ask yourself, are you being asked to sacrifice something essential? Because every relationship requires sacrifice. So, you know, if you're going to be, for example, with one person in a long-term monogamous relationship, you sacrifice sleeping with everybody else. And there's a difference between sacrificing something maybe superficial or something to do with your ego and sacrificing something that you deeply value, something that's deeply, deeply important to you. So is your relationship asking you to give up something that is essential to who you are or something that you don't want to let go of that's more superficial? And this is such a personal question. There's an exploration there, right? About what really matters? What is most important? And can this relationship hold the fullness of who you are becoming? Who you are becoming, who you want to become? Is it spacious enough for difficult feelings, for your joy and your success, grief and fear and your longing? Can you meet your partner in these places? Can they meet you in these places? Do you know how to do that, right? To create that space, that breathing room, to just be able to hold what is true and what's coming up without denying it, making it wrong, trying to fix or change it. And if you don't have that, do you want to create that together? Are you willing to dig in? Try and do that work together. And, you know, what is your relationship with suffering? What is your relationship with grief? Because as we've said today and we've said before, real intimacy is not just about love. It's about being able to share some of the difficult moments. The ability to sit together in sometimes the sadness of life. And to see and hold and recognize each other's wounds, which doesn't mean tending to them 24/7 or always having to do all the work for your partner, but about being vulnerable, being authentic, meeting each other there. And look, I wouldn't recommend that you sit around navel gazing for years and years and years, grieving all the time, but we also benefit from being able to go there and hold these things, right? So if you've dealt with significant loss in your life, that you have a practice, you have a relationship with your grief, which could mean that you write or journal 10 to 20 minutes a day about that person, about that relationship, about that loss. And then, you know, you're able to put that down and still be in the world and take care of yourself and have a relationship to others. That it doesn't consume you 24/7 for your entire existence. And I think most people don't recognize their grief, don't know how to sit with it, handle it, speak about it. So we just stuff it down, or we rush to fix, offer relationship platitudes like, everything will be all right, or, hey, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But that's not a relationship with grief. That's really an inability to hold it. So, you know, are you able to be honest about these things? Are you able to be honest about your hunger and your yearning? Because I don't know about you, but I feel, you know, often hunger for connection, for a real conversation. Right? Like an actual real conversation of depth. And it's one of the rewarding things about my work is that I get to talk with couples about the things that really matter most beyond what's happening on the news and what's happening on TV and what we read in the paper, but, you know, matters of the heart. And so are you able to notice your hunger for connection, maybe for acknowledgement, for touch, affection, for meaning in your life, for your partner's presence, Or do you deny that for the sake of keeping the peace? Some of us are not really in touch with what we're craving or wanting. And some of us just make it all about us, trying to fill some void or emptiness within. And so I think that some of these questions, and there are probably others that, you know, I haven't considered, are deep and powerful inquiries that go beyond, you know, assessing your partner's red flags or something that just annoys you about them, right? These are the kinds of questions that can get your stomach turning, make you feel uncomfortable. It's psychedelic, but you're not on any drugs. And I don't think that's a sign of a bad question. I think it's the mark of an important one. One thing that, you know, we all deal with is we have ideas about how we wanted our relationship to be, expectations of how it would be in the beginning. And some of us drift very, very far from not only what we expected and what we wanted, but what is healthy. So we need to, you know, get some perspective on that to assess our situation. But we also benefit from, in healthy relationships, right? We benefit from being able to grieve what we wanted the relationship to be, which doesn't mean giving up on learning and growth, but letting go of clinging to a vision of what we hoped the relationship would be. You know, we need to get with what is. And we start with dreams in the beginning or fantasies in the beginning of what we want, how we want things to go. And life presents us with other circumstances, does it not? You know, I mean, just imagine like the classic example of a couple who set out to have a family together, to have their own child, and they have immense challenges. And they go through IVF and they go through all the processes and they spend tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars in some situations. And yes, they could adopt, but, you know, that wasn't their dream. The dream, the fantasy they started out with wasn't adoption. It was giving birth to their own child. That's just one example here. And if that's you, or, you know, something similar is happening or has happened, your partner got sick, something dramatic changed, have you allowed yourself to grieve the dream that is not coming true or hasn't come true yet? Is there a level of acceptance? You know, I think it's an important part of like being able to grieve what you wanted the relationship to be. And that doesn't mean putting up with toxic, harmful, abusive patterns, right? I'm saying that we do got to settle in some sense that because no one's perfect, right? No partner's perfect. We will have to accept that you know, our partner has some weaknesses. They can't just be amazing at everything all the time. But getting in touch with that, maybe part of us had all of these expectations or wild fantasies in the beginning. And we can reignite these conversations with our partner. You know, this isn't about giving up. It's about getting in touch with what's really there for us at a deeper level. This isn't about resigning, you know, or saying, oh God, my life's never going to be anything that I wanted it to be. It's about just connecting, you know, at a deeper level and seeing maybe that there is some beauty in your suffering and that not all of that is a sign that something is wrong, right? Because when I suffer, when I struggle, things don't go my way, or something, some day, some moment, some month, some year of my life is not going the way that I hoped it would go. It's easy to make up a story that something's wrong, something's messed up, something's wrong with me. You know, I'm broken, I'm dumb. I'm whatever, I'm this, I'm that. In hindsight, you know, suffering is sometimes the price of transformation, the price of growth. But, you know, is what you're going through, this is like an important perspective. It's like, is your struggle, is your suffering making you more human? Are you growing? Are you learning? Are you becoming more compassionate, more alive? Or is the experience turning you sour, right? Are you getting bitter and resentful? And I think there is a difference, right? In seeing that we are being stretched, that we are experiencing growing pains versus, you know, maybe something else, suffering of another kind. And are you being asked to transform in an indirect, mysterious way? Because sometimes life, you know, especially our relationships, asks and demands of us to confront parts of ourselves we'd rather avoid. And that can feel a little nightmarish, but, you know, it can have a deeper purpose to bring wisdom, to bring intelligence, to bring repair, to bring life in, versus, you know, it being something that's just going to push us into a spiral of doom and we just loop on that and, you know, everything's over for us. So are you being asked to transform in some mysterious or, you know, indirect way? I think one of the questions that me and my partner ask ourselves when we have moments of doubt or struggle is, you know, is there more here for us to learn? Can we go deeper together? I remember moments early on, especially in the first couple of years, where we had our doubts or we had our concerns, or we're deep in the power struggle. And that was an important inquiry, is like, do I have more to learn here? Do we have more growing to do? Can we see that? Are we in touch with that? And that's one of the things that helps us and helped us renew that sense of commitment, you know, and that sense of ownership and accountability and digging in, you know, learning how to grow together, learning how to climb instead of, you know, give up. So if you listened this far, thank you. If you listened to these questions and you felt something, a pull, a release, a big turning in your stomach, then maybe you're touching on something real. And sometimes the hardest part in these situations of considering to stay or leave is asking yourself, you know, does this relationship bring me closer to my deepest work? I think sometimes the hardest part is not deciding whether to stay or go. It's actually creating the space to ask yourself a deeper question, which is, does this relationship bring me closer to my deepest work? Does this relationship bring me closer to my soul, or developing myself as a person in a real way, you know, in a deep way? And I think that inquiry brings us a little bit closer to the truth of the matter and away from the shadows in the cave, which really, you know, let's be honest, in modern times is social media, Instagram, perfect feeds with perfect people, perfect moments. That's not real life, right? We get sick, we get tired, we get down on ourselves, we doubt. Not every moment in a relationship is all smiles and just American excellence. It's much more than that. So I hope that this conversation today was helpful for you. And thank you for listening to the show. You know, if you found this meaningful, if you found it useful, share it with someone who needs it. And if you want more, obviously subscribe. Hit the like button or leave us a 5-star review if you feel like we deserve it. And I look forward to keep exploring love, relationships, things that work and don't work, and the deep matters of the heart. So thanks for being here. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you next week.